You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on October 18, 2023, and is titled Epaphroditus. Grab your Bible, turn to the book of Philippians, and let's join Steve and the message.
Hey, we want to welcome everybody being here. We got quite a few on the deal tonight. I know that said they were going to tune in to listen, and so we're going to forego the music tonight, but we've got quite a bit to talk about also this evening. There's a lot going on in the country I want to talk about before we get into Word. We're going to get into Philippians tonight. I want to talk to you a little bit about a guy named Epaphroditus. How many of y'all have ever heard a preacher talk about Epaphroditus? It's not a disease. It's a guy. And so we're gonna visit about that a little bit tonight and encourage y'all just a little bit. But for those of you that have kind of been regular around here, and most of y'all are, you get it. But we talked a lot about, now for the last month, we've talked about this movement that's happening in America. And not necessarily a movement that's like a revival movement, but a movement of standing your ground. A movement of saying, no, enough's enough. And we're starting to see that manifest. We're seeing that come to fruition. And so yesterday, the state of Arkansas, under the leadership of Sarah Huckabee, decided they made law that you cannot sell your Arkansas property to a foreign entity that is on the terror watch list. There's already 160 acres on one side of Arkansas that's already been sold to one of these Chinese watch list corporations or whatever. So included in all that is it's Act 6, Act 5, Act 6, and Act 7 dash something something. And when Sarah first started talking about it, she called it Acts 5. And I thought, that's pretty awesome right there. She can't keep from quoting the Bible, you know. And I might miss a little of it here, but what it appears it looks like is if you have already done this, then that entity now is required to sell that land to somebody else or relinquish it to the government. You're not allowed to own land if you are on a terror watch list in the state of Arkansas. I would encourage every governor with a brain cell, so that doesn't include Newsom and a couple others, Lujan, but the intelligent life out there that's occupying the higher offices, like Greg Abbott. I mean, now would be a really good time for Greg Abbott to step up and be a man the full 24 hours of a day period, not just enough for some sound bites and photo ops. Now'd be a great time to follow suit. Now's the perfect time to do it, because about 12 years ago or something, it may be wrong on my timeline, but Oklahoma made a law that said if the United States of America gave in to Sharia law, Islamic law, that the state of Oklahoma would not adhere to that policy. 3 years later, it was overruled by the Supreme Court. Now, thanks to the 45th president of the United States, we have a court that's 6-3, or at least 5.5-3. And, John Roberts, you know, the Bush appointee, head chief justice. He's a part-timer. But anyhow, because of that, now we probably won't be subject to overruling such things, and especially since the 10th Amendment got brought to the forefront on the abortion issue with states' rights and putting things back in the hands of the state, we have now set a precedence that we're kind of going forward in that, to where we hand it to the state. And so I want to encourage you with that, because when I first heard her talking, I said, there's the movement right there. Not an organized thing where we have meetings, just where common everyday people in your everyday life just stand up and say, I ain't doing it. I'm not putting up with it. And so, you know, if anybody that has a phone line to Governor Stitz in Oklahoma, I mean, China owns about enough of your land, and they've got enough pot farms to supply all the pot houses in New Mexico. So maybe y'all might work on something to get some of that back. If you're an individual who owns land and you sell it to foreign entities that intend to do damage to your United States of America, you should be hung for treason. That's the truth. So, just my two cents about a couple of things. There's a lot of good stuff going on in the United States of America today, and there's people that are rising up, and people follow the example of Sarah Huckabee. My gosh, that'd be a good girl to follow. That son of a gun is sharp. It flows out of her like a fire hose. I mean, when you stand side by side and take the bullets that Donald Trump was supposed to get, yeah, you're pretty darn handy. Yeah, and she's sharp. And then got the people around her to support what she's doing. Here's the other thing we're seeing, and I'm not going to boast in this because but I just want to encourage everybody in this. All of a sudden now in mainstream media, and some of y'all have sent me stuff, different people send me things, but not in mainstream media, but mainstream Christianity, we're seeing the promise to Abraham come to the forefront. We're seeing ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ call Hamas what it is. It's an evil entity. It is actually Satan. And it represents that. The name Hamas means that. It's in the Hebrew text. It's the word actually means destruction and evil and all that kind of stuff. And so we're seeing now people are coming to the front, and they're saying things and reading things out of the scripture that we've been talking about around here for a decade. And not because we're extra smart. It's just, I think there's enough people now that's got desperate enough that you know you have to rely on the Holy Spirit. Somebody sent me a deal today about the institution of religion led by the Catholic Church. And how their core belief is that they'll hear God and tell you what you're supposed to hear. Well, isn't that how we've done it? Everybody hired somebody to listen to God for you. Been doing it since 3 days after God invented dirt and the moon was barely this big around. We've been hiring somebody to stand up here and tell us what the Bible says, and hiring somebody to stand up here and tell us what God says. No, we should hear what God says. And I want to clarify something else, too, because, you know, I got it up my dress a little bit for organized religion, and that's not a much of a secret. And don't have just a whole lot. Don't cotton to hirelings very good. And unsafe preachers kind of drive me nuts. If you don't know Jesus, quit talking about him. So that kind of drives me nuts. But on the other hand, all of y'all come to a place that's fairly organized to be as disorganized and dysfunctional as we are. We have a checking account. We have one in 501c3 things. We meet at the same time, 2 or 3 days a week. So it's organized. It's just not organized religion. It's a sacred gathering where we share information of all kinds that are necessary for our daily lives, where we share scriptures that are pertinent to our daily lives, where we honor your kitchen table. Did you send that thing to me? I'll tell you, I had a lot of good stuff tonight. No, that's not it. I just called somebody back, tried to call me, and I wish I hadn't done it. Yeah, I got it right here, but it didn't make it yet. Let me see yours. It's pretty cool. She took it out of a Hebrew commentary, Jewish commentary. Hold on. And here in a minute, I'm going to get Dusty up. Dusty got some cool stuff, too. Yeah, I just want you to hear this, because ever since we started teaching on the Passover, however many years ago that was, Passover's what really pointed me to the kitchen table and the importance of the kitchen table. I've always known that, but I didn't know how sacred it was. So right here in this Jewish commentary, it says, a Jew should be aware that we always have a temple of sorts. When there is no temple, a Jew's table offers atonement, and it gives a scriptural reference. The table symbolizes the charity and hospitality of the Jewish home, and also the teachings one transmits to one's children and the example one sets for them. The temple is eternal, and the Torah demands extreme vigilance in the upkeep of it. Kitchen table. So that's why we come together and we organize, so we can help each one of you, help your own families with your temple. This is not a temple. It doesn't matter how high you build the steeple. It doesn't matter how much stain you put in the glass windows. It don't matter if you hide your crackers behind a gold door. It don't matter if you have a big hat. It don't matter if you wear a coat that you can't feed in. It don't matter about any of that. That's not a temple. No, this is a metal barn. And thank God the heat works and the air conditioning works, because we like to be comfortable. We got good chairs, because the preacher's really long-winded here. So we need good chairs. We sat in some pews the other day that, thank God, we didn't have to be there any longer because they were not comfortable. That ain't the only reason we need it out there, but that's another story for another day. But it's organized. So I'm not against the assembly. Your First Amendment guarantees it. It says that Congress shall make no law regarding your right to assemble and your religion. It is necessary that we assemble so we can talk about things that need to be talked about. Because we assemble, many of you talk to each other throughout the week. Many of you talk with me throughout the week because we assemble. We bring things up. Yes, do I hear from God? Yes, and I tell you guys kind of what's going on. And then that's for you to go home and you study and you tend to your temple. You tend to the teaching of your children. Don't leave them up to somebody else. My God, we got so many people telling about Jesus that have never met him. Some of them I don't think's even been within 100 yards of him. And then we'll hand them over because somebody hired them to be the leader, and you'll hand them over to teach your kids. And neglect the responsibility. Well, I'm just not qualified. What do you mean you're not qualified? Well, I just don't know. Why don't you know? Why don't you know? The Bible says you need no man to be your teacher. The Spirit of God will be your teacher. The Bible says I left you the counselor, the Spirit of truth. He'll teach you all things and remind you everything I said. If you don't have the teacher, you should get born again. That'd be a good way to do it. And then have him open your eyes to the scriptures. And just sit down with your family and say, hey, what do you think that means? In our home, we do not have a regular time for Bible study. We don't have a regular time for anything at our house. There is nothing regular at our house. Ain't that right, Carol? Y'all have been there. Yeah. See you. Hi. Bye. Good. Call you in a week. Here's the keys. That's how it goes at our house. Except in the mornings. In the morning. See, before I ever have coffee with the Colonel, I have coffee with Robin. And then we don't have a plan. Every day presents us with something else to discuss. Every day there's something in our family, or something in our neighborhood, or something in our town, or something in our country, or something we found in the Bible Every day there's something to talk about. And then we drive up and down the road 94 million miles a year. And we talk about things in our family, things in our community, things in our country, things we heard on the radio or saw on the internet, or things that pertain to everyday life. And we have found the Bible to be applicable to every single item. For 27 years, we have found the Bible to be applicable for every single item. It's just taking care of the kitchen table. Just what Carolyn read to us right there out of a Hebrew commentary. We've got so darn wound up about this. So that's why sometimes you hear me talking about this, because some of this has been a problem because we forgot about this in the process. We got to come back to that. This is the only place where we, the people, really have a voice. Most of you sitting in this room don't even know how to get a hold of your congressman. Most of y'all wouldn't even know how to get a hold of the county judge. And that's the truth. But you know how to get a hold of your kids. Tend to your stuff. And so when I talk about that, because I had a little discussion with a buddy of mine, and he's got a really neat organized thing, and he's heard some of the things I said. I don't dodge it. We just talk about it. I'm not against this. I'm against a temple that's not this. I'm against a temple that's not this. You and I, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you go into a building that you got to act holier than you do outside, you got troubles. You already got troubles. You and God got troubles. That's all I'll say about that. But that's the truth. And that'll tromp on a lot of toes. But it's kind of like one tribe, you know, don't like no guitar picking in the sanctuary. And I asked the guy one day, I said, what do you listen to in your pickup? Well, I like Western swing. You can't have fiddles and guitars. That's against the rules. No, just in the temple. Buddy, you done went down the wrong road. That is not going to work. That hay shed y'all get up in every week, it won't stand the judgment. It won't even stand a half-decent tornado. This is the only thing that's everlasting. Right here. Dusty, come here. Dusty got something on his mind today, and by golly, he got telling it, and it sounded pretty good.
I get in trouble sometimes for listening to Fox News too much, but this morning, Tammy and I were sitting there drinking coffee, and they were interviewing a group of Jewish, it was a variety, there was about six of them, younger and older. One was a Jewish rabbi, and each one of them give their take on kind of what's going on over there. And the one thing, that when they asked this Jewish rabbi, he said, I'm going to speak to you as a Jewish American. He said, there's how he put it, because I went back and looked it up and had him pull it up on my phone. But he said, in the darkness that's going on right now, he said, there's a glimmer of light. I remember one night up here that Murph remembered when we said, the darker it gets, God showed me that the less light it takes to make a difference. But as he began to speak, he said, there's a fringe. And he said, it's mainly in the Congress right now. And Steve, if y'all remember when that thing, the Heartland, first started, he talked about the fringe, and that's where all the, on America, that's where the stuff was. That's where everything was going on. Everything was compromised. And then I got to thinking, and the closer to the center of something, whatever is woven, where there's fringe, it's usually because it's coming undone on the edges. And Steve said something this morning. He said, yeah, and that's where the dirt gets in, and that's where the contaminations of something starts. and it works towards the middle as it gets loose. But when where we're at now is we're in a spot where we're the tight woven. It hadn't got in here yet, and that's what he was trying to say. This Jewish rabbi was, it ain't got here yet. And he said, but so that just showed so much about where the core is, where the heartland is, where the solid people are, that we're still together and we're still going to do this. That fringe that's on the outside, that they're the ones that's saying what's going on that was wrong and won't admit to the lies, that's the fringe. We're going to stay hooked where we're at. We're solid and tight, still tight woven. There's nothing can get in. It kind of washes off pretty easy. But I just thought that was, as he said that, and there was, he said one other thing. Let me, as I was writing this down, that he said, ordinary Americans support Israel. Ordinary Americans support Israel. Guess what? What did the Bible say? He said, mere ordinary men. We're just mere ordinary men that God's entrusted the gospel to. That's it.
That's good stuff right there. Amen. Oh, yes, sir. Give old Dusty a hand. That's good. Hey, thinking on that while he was talking about that, and y'all, and I'm not going to tell the story, but a long time ago now when that all happened in my barn one morning, Al Houghton was involved, and I had that vision of America and the frayed edges, and he knew all about it, and it's a good story for another day. But how many of y'all have had something start coming unraveled and just keep doing it? That's what this movement's all about. What day do you stop and say, the unraveling stops right here? We're not coming unhooked. Right here, the unraveling stops. And that's what we're called to do. Do you know who's tight? Here and Israel? The remnant. The ones who are still standing face to face with God, not standing back to back. When God turns his back on this temple or your nation or anything else. And so before I jump into the word of the church of Philippi, let me reiterate something. Last week when we taught out of Romans 11, that beat all I ever heard in my whole life. And it'll be with me the rest of my life. Because everything that I've thought as a patriot, everything I've thought as a Christian, everything I've ever thought as a foot soldier for the kingdom of God, all came to a fullness and came to a point. And the only way to truly assist Israel is as a nation. And the restoration of this nation is so important. It's so important. And so when you have an evil entity, like put a name and a face to evil, radical Islam, and you can almost get that down to one word. You can't think of anybody else that come to steal, kill, and destroy. And because your southern border is now a fringe, the dirt's coming in. It's all coming in. The chaff's coming in. The debris is coming in. It's all coming in. Homegrown radicalization. It's here. And so we have to pick a spot where we say, nah, not today. Do you understand that why, you know, I've asked the question why many times, why a radical Muslim would align himself with the Democratic Party? Because everything a Muslim believes, you know, the Democratic Party as a whole, I'm not saying Democrats, you might be one, your grandma might have been one, hopefully if y'all redeemed yourself and got over it, but whatever. But as a group, at the highest level, they're the highest group of immoral people on the planet. They're the advocates of all kind of human trafficking. They're the ones who sucked the life out of sanctity of life. They're the ones who took away sanctity of marriage, fight to keep a porous southern border, and advocate for Islamic politicians in our country. Do you know, how do you do that? That they align themselves with a party that believes in abortion and a party that believes in homosexuality when a Muslim can't stand either one. Because the number one agenda is the destruction of America, and the Democratic Party is the number one tool for the destruction of America. If they'll breathe life into that group of moralist individuals.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.